This podcast represents the opinions of Whiskey Wheels Wounds and guests to the show. The content here is for informational use only and should not be taken as medical advice. Consult your healthcare professional for medical questions. Views and opinions expressed are our own or guests and do not represent any organization we are a member of. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statement or opinion made. This podcast contains explicit language and mature content. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Whiskey, Wheels, and Wounds. I'm Sean Naber, 9-year United States Air Force vet.
And I am Steve Vickers, 22-year U.S. Army veteran.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Let's ride.
Okay, boys, time for the show.
All right, so we're going to start off with a question. Let me back up. Definition. Webster's defines a patriot as someone who loves their country, strongly loves their country. I think that's a bullshit-ass definition. What is your definition of what a patriot is? That was the question I wanted to start with.
Is that rhetorical or are you asking me?
Yeah, no, that's a legit question.
I guess we should have did some.
Well, no, I mean, because it's half
subjective.
Half a question for you because right. It is subjective. It's also a question for the listeners. What do you think a patriot is? Because the Webster's Dictionary definition, it's bunk. It's like a fucking cop out.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's broad brushed to accommodate so many different views under one umbrella. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's why I call it a cop out, because it's
so for me, you know, I think I'm a patriot. And how do I define that? You know, I think I believe that everyone should do something bigger than themselves, right? Participate in something bigger than themselves. And that you should provide your tools, your skills, your time, for the betterment of and then just go echelons above your household. Well, start with self, household, community, and those ripples should extend to the country. Right. You know, I guess at one point in time, you know, serving in Korea for 2 years and seeing that no matter what demographic you come from in Korea, South Korea, that is, that there's a minimum 2-year requirement to serve your country. And boy, I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, the Israelis too.
You know what I mean? I kind of like that idea. You put everybody. Now, full disclosure, you know, if you come from money, if you're college educated, then you most likely become a KATUSA, Korean augmentee to the United States Army. Yeah, I get that. You're not a rock soldier. I get that, right? However, you know, my first fondest memory of Korea, September 1993, is we're in these huts, and I'll get back on track in a hot second. We're in these, you know, the old, I guess Korean War. I mean, it's in fucking Korea, but you know, the old metal huts,
right?
Long cylinder huts, right? They look like culvert pipe,
right?
Right, cut in half and just stuck on the ground and put two ends with a door on it, right? Yeah, we're in there. That's our company CP, and I'm standing at the CQ desk looking out the window, and you know the windows have probably been there since goddamn Korean War, so they're hazy, and I can just make out people in BDUs, and you know they were standing in formation, and one guy's going down, and I just see the guy in front of the formation smack the shit out of somebody in formation. And I'm like, hey, bro, you know, the CQ down here, he's a private, you know. I'm like, hey, what the fuck? And he's like, you know, he kind of, you know, leans up in the chair so he can see out the window. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's Sergeant Major. I'm like, Sergeant Major smacking the shit out of people? He's like, yep. I'm like, ain't nobody fucking hitting me. Like, ain't nobody fucking hitting me. And he's like, oh, Sergeant Major smacks the shit out of them all the time. He's like, they must not know their general orders. And I was like, these motherfuckers are getting smacked in the face for not knowing their general orders. Like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, ain't nobody hitting me. And fucking platoon sergeant behind me is like, what'd you say? I mean, it's hey, Sergeant. You know, ain't nobody fucking hit me. Like, I'll fucking hit you. And I'm like, well, ain't nobody fucking hit me. You know what I mean? And he yells in there. And he's like, hey, first sergeant. He's like, yeah. He's like, I want Vickers in my platoon. I was like, oh, fuck, I did it, right? So I was in this dude's platoon. Not a big deal, you know, when you're 6'4", you're 230 pounds or 50 pounds, whatever I was, you know, you're automatically the 60 gunner. Automatically. Fucking, you know, I come to the squad, the 60 gunner is, you know, 5'8", fucking 190 pounds, and he's just grinning from ear to ear, you know what I mean? Like, I know what happened. You know, here you go, bud, you know? And yeah, and then you carry that motherfucker up mountains and shit, right? It was 3 months. I was in Korea 3 months before my fucking platoon sergeant figured out that I wasn't a 12 Bravo and I was a 12 Foxtrot and I should be in the assault and obstacle platoon because that's where my fucking, like, every day I go to the motor pool, I'm like, hey, where's my ace? Or where's my, you know, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, I'm a 12 Foxtrot. They're like, nah, bro, you ain't. You're a fucking 12 Bravo. Like, and then like 3 months later, fucking my platoon sergeant's like, Vickers, what's your MOS? 12 Foxtrot, sergeant. He's like, man, get your ass over in A&O. Why the fuck are you? I'm like, you know, I had my Forrest Gump moment. You told me, you know what I mean? So, but. Yeah, that rock. So come to find out, that's the ROK, Republic of Korea, ROK Sergeant Major, smacking the shit out of Katusas, right? And letting them know, hey, you know, I don't care if you came from money. I don't care if you, you know, if you don't know your fucking general orders, I'm going to smack the shit out of you.
Your station in life might have got you a cushy assignment, but you still got to deal with me.
Right. And here you are. And for the next 2 years, this is what you can expect. Now, the only time I didn't see that happen was my man Lee, L-I, right? He was the son of, like, the Taekwondo dude in all of Korea. And he has to do his 2 years. So a fucking he's standing in line. Now he's taller. That dude's like 6 foot, right? Which, again, fucking unheard of. But so Rockstar Major is going down the line asking questions. He gets to fucking Lee, and he asks Lee a question. Lee, don't say nothing, right? He's standing at position of attention. He don't say nothing. And the Sergeant Major's like, yelling at him again. So he goes what they call rock ready, which is your feet go shoulder width apart. Your hands come, you know, in front of your pelvis in a fist.
Right.
And you roll your shoulders for it. They call that rock ready. And Sergeant Major did a right face, went in front of the next guy, didn't ask him nothing, slapped the shit out of him. and you know, because like when the new Catoosas come in, we stand outside and we watch that shit because it's fucking comical.
Because it's not you.
Because it ain't you. Like, you know what I mean? And you see this shit, and then you're like, oh, fuck. And also, Catoosas, like the new Catoosas, they shine the boots of every Catoosa in the squad above them. Right? So they're fucking, you know, while the other Catoosas, they're drinking soju and getting fuckered, eating fucking kimchi all night. Dude is fucking spit shining their boots. Not Lee. Lee ain't spit shining no goddamn boots. I'm like, man. And then, you know, we did Taekwondo like every fucking Thursday, right? And I'm a yellow belt in Taekwondo. Recognize. Fucking recognize. I did.
When was the last time you Taekwondo'd?
I did Taekwondo every Thursday for 2 fucking years. I'm a yellow belt, man. Fucking recognize that shit. I got a plaque and everything. So fuck around if you want to.
You'll find out.
You'll fucking find out. I got skills in Taekwondo. But yeah, it, man. So back to patriotism. since I got off the
you got off the exit, took the side road for about 4 miles. Now we're back on.
But
Steve Tour.
But yeah, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I believe in free will, right? So I believe that you have the freedom to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And then also, when I had children, right, I told my kids, I will go back to Iraq as many fucking times as I have to ensure you don't, right?
Right.
So, but that was the patriotism in my family, right? That was the patriarch mm-hmm. of the family saying, I will go do this so you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with defining patriotism is that it is so watered down. It is so skewed. You know, people don't want to say they're a patriot now because they're automatically a racist. They're automatically a white supremacist. They're automatically hating of others.
An extreme right-wingist, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whole nine yards, yeah.
Yeah. So the word, and there's a lot of words in the English language that has been distorted over the last 5-10 years that and then there's so I think people are hesitant to call themselves. Now there's people out there that are like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck, you know, I'm gonna call myself a patriot regardless of what. And some people feed into all that stereotype.
Yeah. I think there's people out there that call themselves a patriot because it's in that environment, you know, that word is distorted to, you know, mean something. But I think being a patriot. So when you're, my ideal of a patriot is the same concept as to the oath we took. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't swear an oath to a particular political party, a particular government style. We swore an oath to a constitution. That's the backbone, the basis of our country. Like, without the Constitution, it doesn't exist. So I think a true patriot is someone who understands that the Constitution is the underlying fabric of what this country means. I don't think if you only believe in right-wing politics or left-wing politics, that's not a patriot.
Right.
If you only believe in a particular race or a particular religion, that's not a patriot. I think if fundamentally you believe in the ideals that this country was founded on in the Constitution. I know there's a whole lot of stuff that 250 fucking years ago was deemed acceptable that's not acceptable now. I get it, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, fuck, let's just look at the first few Bill of Rights, you know, freedom of speech and all that jazz. Those types of things, if you believe strongly in those and you're willing to defend and or sacrifice for those ideals, then you can be called a patriot. Other than that, it's just lip service.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where having or expressing devotion to and vigorously supporting one's country, right? Patriotic. And I would say, you know, saying America is the greatest country in the world, right? You know, does that make you automatically patriotic? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's more patriotic to say, you know what? America may, in what? You know what I mean? In what? Now, I've lived in several countries throughout this world, as did you. I've seen how things are in third world countries,
mm-hmm.
as have you. And, you know, as much as I don't like Ohio, I wouldn't trade Ohio for any of those motherfuckers, right?
Maybe California.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, third way. Yeah. No, thanks.
California is a whole nother beast.
You can keep,
sorry, California people.
You can keep that shit out there, but you know,
yeah,
you motherfuckers in California, you know,
there's a reason there's a mass exodus north and east.
Motherfuckers in California are striking. Hotel workers in California are striking and wanting hotels to pay their housing costs because the price of housing is too fucking expensive out there. Fucking know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They fucking know.
So I think when in a lot of ways, the United States is not the best country in the world. But I think in the one way that it matters the most is the idea of the freedoms that we have, or that we were originally, you know, the Constitution was wrote to protect. Now, in the last 250 years, we've done a really good job of legislating away our freedoms, but I can't think of another country that has a 250-year-old document that protects the populace, well, that was designed to protect the populace from overreaching government. the government is basically giving me $1,270 every single month. Autoplay ad.
Jesus Christ. Trying to look something up and goddamn it.
So I define myself as a patriot in the aspect that I took an oath. And I'm one of those corny motherfuckers that says my oath of enlistment didn't expire. Because, you know, if shit came to shove, I would protect the Constitution any way I can. So question for you then. Would you consider, because this kind of, when we talked about this, I've been thinking about this. Would you consider Edward Snowden a patriot?
No. And I say that with, in context of, I don't subscribe to, you know, whistleblowers being, you know, snitches, right? I think you need whistleblowers, to have a checks and balance.
Right.
Now, how you do it, to me, how you blow the whistle, who you blow the whistle to, and then what you do subsequently after blowing the whistle tells me everything I need to know about you.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, you know, that's why I answer the way I do.
So for me, it's multi-layered. So the fact that he realized that the NSA was doing things that he believed were unconstitutional.
Right.
He raised those concerns to his supervision, right, the appropriate way to do it.
Yep.
They basically told him to go fucking pound sand.
Right.
So he decided to take said information and release it to a bunch of reporters.
Right.
And then subsequently, the Supreme Court found that the things that the NSA were doing that he raised questions about were deemed unconstitutional.
Yes.
So he was 100% correct in that. Up to that, I'm with him.
Yep.
It's everything after that, I'm not with him. The hiding in Russia, becoming a Russian nationalized citizen, becoming, you know, he's essentially, you know, defected.
Right.
So, and I get it. At first, it was self-preservation because the government was coming after him hardcore for being treasonous. I don't think the initial stuff was treasonous because he released it to reporters, not to another country, something
right,
like that.
Right. Agreed.
But everything after that, yeah, I'm not down. So I would say that if he would have released it to the reporters and then stood in the court and faced his judgment,
yes,
I'd call him a patriot all day, every day.
And that's exactly like when you do something, when you put it on the line, right, you believe this is right. Even if 99% of the people around you believe it's not, as long as you believe it, that's all.
And you're willing to have the conviction to face the music.
Yes. That, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what we're talking about, because as soon as you say, I think this is wrong, here, let me throw this in the ether and let the internet world figure this shit out. No, that ain't patriotic to me. You know what I mean? But again, it's
a subjective definition.
Right.
You know, other people may think we're wrong. Other may people think we're right, and more people may think we're not right enough. So, you know, it is what it is. But that's the beauty of this podcast. We get to share what we believe and what we think subjectively, whether it's, you know, the gospel or not. It's how we feel. Because we talk about, you know, all the time embracing our feelings.
Right.
So I think by the definition that I use the word patriot, I feel that that quality in American citizens has drastically dried up and disappeared over the last know, 7 years. Like with each subsequent generation, it's less and less of a quality.
Yeah.
Like our grandfathers, they were patriots, you know, most of them, you know, when fucking December 7th happened, there wasn't, you know, how do I get out of this or anything like that. It was, they fucking came and kicked us in the teeth. It's time to give some payback. You know what I mean?
And oh, by the way, after December 7th, our grandmothers were also patriots.
Yes.
And, you know, how many forget the amount of women that went into factories building planes and ammunition and bombs and things of that sort.
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah. So that men, you know, because at that point,
women couldn't serve in a combat role.
Right.
Yeah. They were nurses and clerks and, but they still served. They still did it, you know, and if they weren't doing it in uniform, they damn straight were doing it in a factory.
Right. So,
you know, so when you see that little old man walking down the street with the veteran hat on and the little old lady walking next to him, odds are she's a badass too.
And yeah, because, you know, she was at home with all the children and doing all the things that
mom did. And, but also, by the way, was in the factory doing what dad did. For
4 fucking years.
Yeah.
It ain't, I'll see you in 6 months. I'll see you in a year. For 4 fucking years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you didn't have iPads to keep the kids busy. Right?
And they wasn't calling home every motherfucking day. No. They wasn't hitting the AT&T fucking call center.
I watch a YouTube video or a YouTuber called the Fat Electrician. He's fucking hilarious, but he talks about military history stuff. And he did a video yesterday about Colonel Barfoot in 2009. He was in an HOA, 90-year-old World War II veteran in Virginia. HOA said he couldn't fly his American flag. But a neat little stat that came out of that was Barfoot enlisted before World War II. And there was only about 200 and some thousand guys in the Army. After December 7th, the numbers shot up to like 1.5 million or something like that. Like, that's insane. The amount of guys that...
Ten times.
I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts. Like, that's a huge chunk of the population at the time just gone.
Now, with that being said, you know, the amount of patriotism that shows, right? I mean, on its face, in one day, one moment in time, right? You know, 9/11 before 9/11, right?
Yep.
And you saw that a lot after 9/11, right? You saw the patriotism after 9/11. You saw, you know, a lot of people enlisting after 9/11 because that's what they saw and they wanted to, you know, the same mentality, you know, I want to go to countries far, far away and fight people on their terms, well, our terms.
But right? Their land.
Their land, right?
Instead of them coming here.
That's the same concept after December 7th.
Yep.
You're right. So, which then breeded an ideology to hate the Japanese.
Yep.
To hate, you know.
Every German was a Nazi.
Right. Every German was a Nazi. Every, you know. All the Japs and all the, you know, the slurred terms you use for them. So much so that American Japanese were put into concentration camps in America.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, so you look out through history, patriotism, right? The label of, you know, like, a lot of bad shit happened under the banner of patriotism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that cannot be. We can't have an episode where we're like, oh, patriotism, and we sit here and beat our chest for an hour and a half and say, patriotism is good.
And think about this, though. Every one of those Japanese Americans that were put in a concentration camp that came out of that concentration camp but continued to be good American citizens, those are fucking patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
Oh, my God. To be able to endure that type of hate from your government and then turn around and still be a citizen that's not fueled by hate and rage and going after the – I mean, they had every right to defend themselves against the overreaching act of the government.
Yeah.
But they, you know, realized that, you know, it wasn't the country that put me in a camp. It was a government at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy.
And you can see throughout history, that same thing. Blacks in the Civil War.
Yep.
Right. Fighting for the Union. Same concept. You know what I mean? Like the Buffalo Soldiers. Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. You know what I mean? Like patriots.
Yes. And to endure what they had to endure to be a patriot.
I'm going to do this because I want to do this. Damn what you think. And, you know, to be some of the best fighter pilots in World War II, renowned, the Red Tails, renowned, you know, it got to the point where they were B-52 bomber escorts and never lost a plane. And motherfuckers were like, hey, them motherfucking Red Tails ain't coming. We're not going. You know what I mean? So just, you know, throughout history, regardless of race, regardless of situation, code talkers, you know, Native Americans was like, this is my country. I want to go defend it. Attack on Pearl Harbor was an attack on my country. Put me in, coach. And found that niche. And, you know,
But it pisses me off that every unit you just described, the soldiers that they served with in the beginning wanted nothing to do with them because of the color of their skin or what they were labeled as. But once they showed what kind of, you know, like you said, don't lose a plane, you know. Once they showed the value that they brought to the table, then it was more accepted for them to be there. You know,
that's the shame.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the shame is, you know, there's a common, what's the word? Theory, right? A common expression, a common thought process in communities like that. They believe they have to do things better in all aspects because they go into situations judged more harshly because of the biases, because of the racism, so they train harder. They, you know, this, that, and the third. So, yeah, that absolutely. It's amazing. That's patriotism. When you say bump what you think, bump what you heard. You know, there's been I mean, just lost my thought.
Yeah. I think that as communication and stuff become more prevalent, take a look at the 60s.
Yeah.
We, you know, the populace started learning more about the shady shit the government does.
Right.
Then Vietnam happened. And I think that all of the negative media and stigma and everything that came about really put a hamper on patriotism as a whole during and after Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it really came – it didn't come back – I mean, I was a kid, but I mean – I vaguely remember, you know, rah, rah, wave the flag after Desert Storm, but it didn't, it wasn't like it was brought back to the forefront. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The only thing I can remember, you know, was, Whitney Houston's, rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. At the Super Bowl, Giants, Bills, 91, Scott Norwood, fucking missed a field goal. Bills lost that game.
Four straight Super Bowls they lost. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, that was the first of the four. Yeah, that was the first of the four. And kind of makes you wonder if he makes that field goal. The narrative changes. But anyways, that's for a different podcast.
Fucking kickers.
Fucking kickers. but yeah, I mean, that, you know, Desert Storm just, I mean, you know, this is January 91. They crossed the berm January, you know what I mean? Like it just happened. So, that was a big deal. You know,
I guess when you only have a 100-hour war, you only get 100 hours of patriotism.
Yeah. You know.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I remember, I distinctly remember my buddy Darren Tilton wearing a Fuck Iraq t-shirt, black t-shirt, white lettering, Fuck Iraq. And they made him turn it inside out because, you know. But yeah. And, Darren just lost his brother, Chris to, pancreatic cancer, a couple days ago. So
fuck cancer.
Yeah. So fuck cancer and, rest in peace, Puddin. I don't, you know, in high school, I wore camouflage pants, and jungle boots every Friday with my jersey because I was going to war every Friday night, down in Martin's Ferry, you know, them jungle boots were, I wore those jungle boots in Korea, you know what I mean? And they were fucking a pain in the ass to spit shine, but, after fucking them up in high school for a year. But yeah.
So kind of like countrywide patriotism dies off after Desert Storm again. I mean, it's there, but it's not in the forefront. And right. Then September 11th happens and it fucking explodes again.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's one of those, I think it's ingrained in us as Americans. You know, we have right, wrong, or indifferent. We have a superiority complex.
Yep.
You know, that we truly believe that. I don't think the masses think I'm better than you on a personal level. I mean, there's some assholes out there like that, but I think like country to country, you know, but you'll have those people in like, we're fucking 50th in education. Get it. Right. I get it. Like, what are we doing to fix that? Nothing.
Yeah, and we are a very militaristic group.
We spend military spending. We spend as much on our military as the next 10 countries.
Yeah.
Combined. Right? So. Now a word from our sponsor, Ohio Cigar Mafia. Are you in the state of Ohio and a cigar enthusiast? Join the ranks of over 200 members who enjoy a good stick paired with a sip of their favorite spirit as they raise money for veterans. Ohio Cigar Mafia is a 501c3 who supports the Southeastern Guide Dogs. They allow veterans to witness a brighter future through the eyes of a service dog. Thank you, Ohio Cigar Mafia, for your support.
I think that being a we can be patriots without being the world's police force.
And, you know, there's people out there that say, well, we spend too much on defense. We spend, you know, we don't need to be the world's police force. We don't need to have our hands in fucking everything. So we don't need the military budget. Well, if you look back in history at all the times that we went to, when we went from 200,000 troops before December 7th to over 1 million, where does that money come from?
Yep.
Where does the equipment come from? Right. There is no need for Rosie the Riveter if we have stuff, right?
Yeah, I can see that. I do think that we overspend on things that aren't needed.
I mean,
like how many times are we going to dump a gazillion dollars into the development of a new fighter plane bring them? I mean,
but also we spend $300 on a fucking toilet seat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's fraud, waste, and abuse going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
hey, Inspector Generals, come on, man. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, yeah.
As a young airman, I did some dumb shit that I should have been in trouble for. I'm just saying. The Inspector Generals need to do a better job.
I mean, we had to sign for fucking Bic pens because they were $10 each.
Government contracts.
That's what, you know what I mean? So, I mean, come on.
So after September 11th, patriotism goes huge.
Yeah.
But and when you're in a 20-year war.
But I think it's swung again. I think it's swung too far the other way.
Yeah. Well, we were in war for 20 years.
Yeah.
You can't maintain that level of.
Bro, like, I don't want you to stand up and applaud for me walking through the fucking airport.
Yeah.
I don't. Fucking go about your day. You know, like, go about your day. Matter of fact, I don't want to even be in the fucking airport, right? Like, I like Germany. They give us a fucking terminal that nobody's fucking in, and we hang out there. We walk on the fucking tarmac. We get on them little fucking buses to the jet, up on the jet, gone, right? That's what I like.
Yeah.
Don't walk me through fucking Atlanta airport and everybody fucking clapping.
Harvard Jackson's a big ass airport.
You know what I mean? Now, you know, the welcome in Maine, on the way back, they have a huge USO up in Maine. And listen, I'm not saying I don't appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Don't feel obligated.
Right. And fucking, I just, you know, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yes.
Makes me fucking uncomfortable.
When you do something like that, I mean, this even ties into something we've talked about before with the thank you for your service. When you do that and you can see the veteran is visibly uncomfortable, that's someone who truly appreciates what you're doing, but doesn't feel like it's warranted. But the motherfucker that tells you that you need to do it, that's the one that doesn't deserve it and will not appreciate it.
Right. And what, but see, again, I see both sides of it, right? So I understand that, you know, in that crowd somewhere, at that airport somewhere, was probably somebody who came back from Vietnam and didn't get any of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Those dudes at the USO's, you know, pre-leaving, or when we came home, them volunteers, you know.
Which are traditionally old-timers.
Old-timers, yep. Thinking us, that's different.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's two people who saw some of the same things.
Well, when we were out in Colorado, how many Vietnam guys did you tell welcome home to?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'd never done that before, and then I seen you doing it, and then it got me thinking for that same reason. You know, they were shunned when they came home.
Yeah.
You know, we were given a quote-unquote hero's welcome, and, you know, they were vilified and...
Yeah. And so... I know I say this, right? And, you know, a couple of them felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm wearing my vest that says I'm a combat veteran. You're wearing a hat that says you're a combat veteran. So, you know what I mean? If you don't wear a hat that says Vietnam veteran, I don't know you're a Vietnam veteran.
Yep.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I buy vets lunch or breakfast or, you know, because.
Well, hell, when I bought all those Girl Scout cookies from Nova, and I mean, I bought a lot. I also, they have a program where you buy boxes and they donate them to veterans. That's so right. I bought a shit ton of boxes for those too. You know, it's.
So, yeah. And, but yeah, it's one of those things where. I felt uncomfortable. It's like, I tell the stories when I used to go to the VFW all the time. And, like, you know, I come home from, Iraq. I want to say the second time and join the VFW. And it was like, all right, these are my people now. You know what I mean? You would sit there and then World War II vets would talk and I'd shut the fuck up. Cause again, they fucking left on a boat.
They're OGs.
Right. They left on a fucking boat.
Sailed across the fucking ocean.
Right. Fucking. And then, you know,
fought their way across Europe.
Fucking Christ. You know, you know, you know, Korea, being in Korea and seeing, I remember being part of the engineer reconnaissance team and we got dropped off at this point and we had to walk a couple peaks, you know, come down, you know, we were up in the fucking mountains and I was like, man, I think if like during the Korean War, I've just come the fuck up here. I come the fuck up here and fuck, if you find me, good on you. You know what I mean? But goddamn, like, yeah. I mean, being in Korea and seeing, you know, I was up at the DMZ. You see that, you see the, steadfastness of the North Korean army. And knowing they have a million motherfuckers over there, you know, when they tell you that, you know, there's 30,000 troops, 30,000 American troops in the country of Korea or some shit, right? This was, again, 93 years, so my numbers may be skewed. You know, they're like, what is not skewed is there's 10 of those, them. 10 of them to every one of you. And oh, by the way, you're a speed bump. They say this in the welcome briefing when you get into Korea. You are a speed bump. If North Korea wants to invade South Korea, you motherfuckers are speed bumps. And
why are we here?
Right? I'm like, us? Because I got the mentality. I'm like, I'm in the world's best army. Most sophisticated army. That's what I'm in. And then in that year, Kim Il Sung dies, right? And he was the dictator of North Korea, and as his health was failing, he was born in Seoul, right? When they were still one country, and his son said, "I will bury my father in Seoul. And if you do not allow it, I will bring my army with me." So when he died, it was like 2:30 in the morning and the alert sirens went off and we were full up. I mean, I was in a combat engineer vehicle, what was 60 class tank with a 165 millimeter HEP gun, high explosive projectile. That's what HEP stands for. And it was the biggest round shot from a moving platform, land platform in the army. In the American arsenal, right? 165 millimeter. And it was composition B, which is kind of like C4, shooting through the air 65 pounds, right? And it blew up bunkers, blew up bridges. And I was a loader, of course, because them motherfuckers were 65 pounds. And, you know, they're like, hey, drop that 27-pound fucking machine gun and go get in the turret and pick up 65-pound rounds. Yeah, so,
I'm big and strong.
Right. I was like Dino. I stood in a turret and my head stuck out of the top of that motherfucker. I shit you not. But yeah, so we loaded up. We were ready to fucking, we were ready to go. And it didn't transpire. They buried him in North Korea, but yeah. But you know, they're like, and the conversation that I had with my Katusas, right? When this pops off, you know, I'm like, hey, bro, you understand when this shit pops off, you're the first one to go. What do you mean? I'm fighting for my country like you're fighting for your country. Yeah, but that's your cousin. Ah, no. North Korea bad. Yeah, I get that, but that's your fucking cousin. And so thankfully, nothing popped off, and I wouldn't have had to test my theory of, you know, you would fucking shoot me before you shoot your cousin. And, but yeah, that's how fucking 18-year-old me thought. Yeah.
So we're winding down our quote unquote, you know, patriotism. It's not as in the forefront like it was in the beginning of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. So now, are we basically just a society that cycles our patriotism with combat, with a war, with a major event?
I think so. And I also think now you'll have those pockets of patriots. You know, the 3%ers. Ugh. Right. You'll have those always. You'll have the extreme Patriots. But overall, you know,
the widely accepted Patriot, I guess is I should.
No. I got you. I was just.
Yeah, no, yes, I know.
I think we do. And I think it takes events like that. December 7th, it takes events like, you know, I also think, you know, it comes around every 4 years for the Olympics, every 4 years for the World Cup that, you know, USA men's don't fucking participate in. Oh, we get a free ride, you know, this new World Cup because we're hosts. Thank God. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm a patriot. When it comes to, you know, world sports of that nature, you know, I'm not much of a footballer.
Soccer for you Americans.
Yeah. I'm not much of a footballer, but yeah, I mean, you know, it'll get me to when I'm at B-dubs throwing down some wings and it's on, I'll fucking watch. You know what I mean? Like I watch shit like that, just, you know,
you're not coming home and searching it out, but if it's on, you'll watch it.
Yeah. I mean, running through the channels, I see the women soccer team. Cause they
kick ass.
They kick ass. But yeah, I'll watch that. And, Olympics, huge Olympic guy. I once, inspired to be an Olympian. I thought that'd be the coolest shit ever. And then I went to, the Army wrestling team and saw what it took to be an Olympian and quickly figured out I don't have what it takes. But shout out to Dramiel Byers, United States Army Olympian, two-time Olympian, world champion. He reached out to me when we were in Colorado Springs, and he was out of town, couldn't link up. But we went to the Army team in 95 together, two big old boys.
He definitely had what it took.
Oh yeah, he.
To be a two-time Olympian and a world champion,
yeah,
my man's had something.
Sean Lewis, the coach of the Army team, again, he wrestled back when I wrestled. He was, I'm gonna screw it up. He was a 10-time national champion. I mean, he's the real deal. Yeah. So back, you know. Back when I wrestled, there was Derek Waltrip, former Army coach, Olympian. There was, Rodney Smith, an Olympian, Olympic bronze medalist, I want to say. Yeah, 88 in Seoul. Olympic bronze medalist, you know, so, yep. All those guys out there, shout out to them. But... you know, and some people, right, have the thought that, you know, they're not patriots. And I bear to differ. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're representing your country. You know.
Well, I mean, if you want to say a fucking Olympian's not a patriot, then explain to me Jesse Owens in the Berlin Olympics,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, certainly, and yeah,
I mean, granted, they're not facing that level, but they're still out there as a representative,
yep,
of the country, doing quote unquote battle,
yeah,
with, you know, other countries, yeah, to be the best and to, you know, bring home, you know, the bragging rights of said sport.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't think bad about any of them. You know what I mean? Hell, I would definitely trade places with, Dramil Byers. That's for goddamn sure. Cause we were both heavyweights. So that's why I say his name, but, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, it's funny. Like I saw him, in New York City, Times Square. I want to say it was before the 2008 Olympics, and he was administering a PT test. Guys at the recruiting station in New York City in Times Square is in the middle of the street. And me and the ex-wife was walking down the street, and I look over and I'm like, I know that motherfucker. And she's like, yeah, right. I'm like, all right. And so we go over there and you know, I yell over there, hey, Byers. And he's like, Vic, what's up? Hold on. he came over and, you know, he starts telling my wife stories about, he's like, man, you understand this motherfucker? I'm like, God damn. But yeah, I mean, he's like, what, man, what you doing here? And I'm like, oh, you know, I just got back from Iraq, da 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 da. You know, he's like, oh shit. I'm like, yeah, I've been there three times. Oh shit. You know what I mean? And so much so that he reached out to me. He's like, hey man, you need to come out here. You know? And I'm like, hey, I threw my, I think it was around the time I threw my packet in to retire. He's like, well, fuck, come spend your last year out here. And I'm like, man, I can't do that shit anymore. He's like, nah, fuck. He's like, we got administrative shit you can do out here. I'm like, nah, I'm good. But good dude. So much so that, you know, it's funny that I told Left Hook and Link the story, and where he hit me up and he says, you know, does the phrase "I'll shut this motherfucker down" mean anything to you? Right. Which is a throwback to when I was on the team and one of the world-class athlete program members, which is an Army guy that's part of the world-class athlete program, which is different than all Army team, right? It's an echelon above. Anyways, you know, we're rolling and he's doing some, what I perceived as some shady shit on the wrestling mat. He dirty, if you will. And so I explained to him that, yes, you are a better wrestler than me, but I will knock you the fuck out. You know what I mean? And if you keep it up, I will shut this motherfucker down. And I said it loudly enough for everyone to stop. You know, it was the needle on the record moment, right? And everybody looked at me and I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like man to man, I'll shut this motherfucker down, dude. So, which, Sean Lewis, which is currently the coach of the Army wrestling team, I guess he still tells that tale to this day. Right. And the day in question, Sean told the tale. So he texted me. So anyway, which, you know, I thought I was a mediocre wrestler on that team, right? You know, again, I do pretty good self-assessments. You know, I don't bump my chest out or none of that. People in my units that heard I was on the all-Army team, they thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then dudes that wrestled in high school, they'd be like, well, I wrestled in high school. And then they wanted to wrestle me in the field, quickly figured out that there's levels of this shit. And I compare it to, and I can't think of his name, but everybody will know who it'll be. An easy Google, the white dude from the Celtics championship team, redhead guy. Can't think of his name off the top of my head, but, you know, he played with KG and Ray Allen and Rondo and fucking Paul Pierce, and he got a ring. So he retires and he goes back to the block, and all these dudes, he's down at the park playing, and all these dudes are fucking saying, man, you were the worst fucking NBA player. He's like, yeah. And he's out there waxing them, killing everybody. He's like, yes. So understand, you'll never play in the NBA because I'm the fucking worst. And you know, at the end of the day, he'd be like, yeah, and I still got a fucking ring. You know what I mean? But I'm the worst in the NBA, and I'm fucking drilling your ass. So understand, there's fucking levels of this shit. You know? So it was sort of that thing when, you know, these young, because I was older then, and these guys are like, man, you fucking, like, they look down at me and be like, you fucking wrestled? Yep, I did. They're like, man, I think I might want, okay, you want a shot at the title? Let's do it. And then they quickly figure out there's levels to this shit. But yeah, I wholeheartedly think, you know, them guys are Patriots. And I think that patriotism come up, you know, a lot of people, you turn on the Olympics, everybody has face paint on and they're fucking, you know, the tall fucking Uncle Sam hats and all that shit. So I think world stages like that make people patriots.
So now, after having this conversation with you, I have to amend my thought about the Webster's Dictionary definition.
Okay.
So originally I said it was a basic-ass cop-out definition.
Uh-huh.
And now, having had this conversation with you, we have used that word to define so many different
right
ways and opinions of patriotism that it has to be a broad stroke
right
definition.
Yeah, most certainly.
Because you can't, you can pigeonhole your thought on what patriot is based on the circumstance, but that thought might change on a different circumstance, yeah. i.e., you know, a combat guy versus an Olympian versus blah, 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 yep. versus blah, blah, blah. Yep. Yep. So, yes, I will admit that I was very narrow in my thinking, and you need to have a very basic definition of the word patriot to be able to fit all of the positive uses of the word.
Yeah. And I think, but you can also flip that, right? I think there's plenty of patriots out there, people who perceive themselves as patriots that don't do patriotic shit or things that I don't perceive as patriotic shit. And, you know, yelling at a dude for kneeling on the sideline is one thing, right? Right, wrong, or indifferent, right? You brought up the Bill of Rights, and right, wrong, or indifferent. Like, you can't scream at a guy for doing what he fucking believes in and then turn around and say, well, I'm going to do what I fucking believe in and you're going to like it.
Yeah. Right? My dad and I had a conversation when that happened, and he was all up in arms about it. And I said, Dad, I'm not happy he's doing it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But I took an oath. He's exercising his First Amendment right. It's not my business.
Yeah.
Now, if the company he works for wants to make a policy that he can't do that as a condition of his employment, that's one thing. But if he's out there exercising a right, freedom, I don't have to like it, but it's still his right.
Right. Correct. Correct. And, you know, some of my biggest takeaways, since we're talking about patriotism, I mean, you know, Colin Kaepernick is a flash point, right? I mean, it's, I think it was the visible start. Right now, I'm not naive to think behind the scenes there wasn't, you know, a divide between patriots and non-patriots or whatever, but it was the first
the public flashpoint,
right? Visible. It was in your face all the fucking time, right? And you know, the people, you know, here's the outcry for me. The outcry for me is in any situation, right? If you're offended for a group of people that you don't fucking belong to, right? Oh, you're fucking disgracing all the dead Americans who died in combat. Are you a dead American? You know what I mean? No. Are you a veteran? No. Are you a fucking, no. Then shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're doing like in the macro, him kneeling has no goddamn effect on my life.
Yep.
None. None. Now, where you like, I'm doing this for the betterment of the treatment of Black Americans. Bro, I get you. I'm with you. And then you stand at a podium with some fucking pig socks on and a fucking Chavez shirt, right? For a Cuban dictator. And you're like, bro, I'm hearing the words coming out of your fucking mouth, but your wardrobe is throwing me the fuck off. Like, you're giving me mixed signals. You're being a fucking hypocrite right now. Like, and I can't deal with that. So that was my problem. Like, come out here, say what you want to say, but your clothing is saying something as well. If, you know, so, but I believe he had the free will and he had the right to do it if, as you said, his employer allows it, right?
Because we've all worked jobs where we weren't allowed to do, you know, being in the military, we can't in uniform participate in political rallies and, yeah, and things like that. Most our right. freedom of speech is limited based on the employment that we have because yes. it's a condition of said employment.
Yes. Because when you wear the uniform, you're representing that brand, that company, that whatever, right? So he was in uniform mm-hmm. doing this act, right? So that is separate, right? Well, you know, it's separate from he has the right to do anything he wants. No, he don't. Outside of the stadium, if he wants to kneel next to his fucking car, go ahead. No one's stopping you.
That's another thing I guess is kind of lost. Your freedoms are, you have the freedom to do a particular act, but it does not give you the freedom to not face the repercussions for said act.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, my wife tells me that all the time.
Freedom of speech allows you to come up on the street and call somebody a name, but that doesn't protect them from punching you in the fucking mouth when you say it.
Right.
So, and that's where I will say he did something that he thought was right.
Yep. Which
he faced the music for,
which in and itself, right, by our definition, patriotic,
right? And that's what I was going to say. And yep. he faced the music for it.
Yep.
You know, he's been essentially blackballed from the NFL. And
he's still paying the toll from that kneel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he has, you know, his Nike ad and things like that. You know, he has benefited in other ways,
right?
But he was a football player. Yep. He can't play football no more. And then on top of that, he is forever linked to the start of all of that.
Yep.
And a large percentage of the population have a very nasty taste in their mouth about him.
Yep.
So he's faced the music.
Yep.
Again, by our definition, we were talking with Snowden.
Yep.
About Snowden mm-hmm. was he did something he thought was right, and he faced the repercussions for it.
Yep.
So by what we've discussed and by what he's done to a point, you would have to say that his act was an act of patriotism mm-hmm. for his community.
Yes. And he used the platform, revenue generated from his stance on kneeling, right? I know that's right, an oxymoron, but, you know, revenue generated from him kneeling, he is put back in the community. So, you know, now, is there, what is the, has there been concrete change? Has there been reform? Has, you know what I mean? I know my man, Michael Jenkins, former Ohio State, former Philadelphia Eagle, bearded brother. You know, same with him. You know, my problem with him was he wants reform in this country. And I'm with him. Very articulate guy. And he articulates what those changes look like. But when he sits at the counter and he's talking about reform in the United States, wearing you know, a hat that has the outline of the continent of Africa, right? The optics is what skews it for me, right? Now, can he wear that hat? Most certainly. Absolutely. However,
it doesn't detract from the type of man that you believe him to be.
Right. It's the optics for me.
Yeah.
Right. Like here we are talking now in the same vein, you know, I don't think you have to dress like Uncle Sam to show your patriotism. Right. That ain't what I'm, it's the optics. Right.
I've I know where you're going with this because I've had this conversation before. If you're an individual in any type of demographic that is trying to get meaningful, needed change, the way to do it is to, like with this podcast, mm-hmm. we try to limit the amount of people that we alienate.
Right.
Because the more people you get behind your message, the more power and drive you get to get the change that you so desperately seek. And it's usually warranted.
Right.
And so to get the most people behind you, you have to think about the optics mm-hmm. of what you're doing, because you can do something, i.e. pig socks, where you now alienate a huge chunk of the people that you need to be behind your message, because you can't do it by yourself.
It's like the time when AOC wore a tax the rich dress to a gala, right? Now, you may concur with tax the rich, right? But the optics is she's wearing a $10,000 gown or more at a $10,000 a plate gala. You're who you.
Oh, and by the way, she probably got all of those as gifts
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah, to say, you know, to say who the but that's what I'm saying.
The optics. Like,
the optics of it is how many, you know, and those people out there are like, oh, tax the rich. Ha, ha, ha. Let's see how many dollars a plate that gala is.
Yeah. Now, if she'd have been outside the gala in a pair of blue jeans and a T-shirt with a sign that said tax the rich. Yes. Now the optics, yes. You know.
Now we can get with you.
Yeah.
Now we can get with you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like when, you know, politicians say that, right? Say, you know, when Bernie said that, we're going to tax the rich. Bro, have you seen your motherfucking bank account?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Biden says it all the time. Like, bro, have you seen your shit? Yeah, I see my shit, but my shit ain't Trump shit. I'm talking about Trump shit. I'm talking, you know, I'm like, oh. You know what I mean?
You want to tax the rich that aren't like, you.
Right? Like, you know, politicians make $230,000 a year. And all of them motherfuckers have millions.
Yeah.
The only ones that don't are the fucking freshmen trying to get there.
Yeah. I've said before that, one, I've seen it somewhere and I can't remember where I saw it, but a politician should have to wear jackets with all of their sponsors like NASCAR racers do. So you know who owns them. But
Ricky Bobby.
The other thing is that the only way you're going to fix that problem, because Truman said it best, you can't get rich in politics or what is it? You shouldn't.
Man, we fuck up.
Oh yeah, we do. Truman had a saying that was kind of like, you can only get rich in politics if you're being crooked or something along those lines. Man, I fuck it up. I know. I get it.
We fuck that one up. We fuck up quotes on this motherfucker.
But at least we attribute them to a person.
Yeah, yeah. And go look them up.
Yeah, you can Google Truman politics rich and you'll find it. I could probably do it right now, but fuck it.
An unwanted ad will pop up on you.
Yeah. But if you put actual term limits on these people so that they can't be in Congress for 45 fucking years, companies, it's no longer lucrative for companies to own them because they can't do meaningful long-term investments in those politicians to get the things that they want. Politicians, I think, are a great example of we hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, but the optics are losing it on us. I would be very hesitant to use the word patriot to describe the overwhelming majority of politicians.
Yeah, I think they might all, 90% of them, get in there because of patriotism, and then it quickly. Oh, I can do that.
Because usually the ones that get in there and don't want to be part of that, don't want to be a cog of that machine, but they want to affect change. They do not last long.
They don't last long. They get eaten from inside.
They either leave or they get assimilated, like the Borg, Star Trek reference. Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. Not my thing.
Not mine either. I'm a Star Wars nerd.
But you know, off of the Kaepernick situation, I think it bred, you know, especially on the internet, it bred a lot of patriots, right? And that's where I think that's where the word started to skew.
Started becoming a dirty word.
Yeah. You know, which, you know, I tell people, I am unapologetically American. With all the warts, with all the, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you love somebody, it's unconditional, right? Like, I try to teach the 6-year-old because she's like, if you don't buy me this, I'm not going to like you. And I'm like, well, if that's the only reason you're going to like me, I don't want your liking, right? And I treat, you know, I love this country unconditionally. And
when we say country, we mean the country and the ideals that it stands for. We do not love this government unconditionally.
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah, we love the country like a dog loves its owner.
Yeah. And so much so that, you know, I want to see every bit of it. I want to get out on my motorcycle and ride every inch of this motherfucker from 14,000 feet up above Colorado to, you know, to the, down to the oceans and, you know.
How many times have we gone somewhere and been in absolute awe of the view?
Yeah.
And looked at each other and goes, this is why we enlisted.
Right. And you know, that's why we do it on, you know, I, every year on the Memorial Day ride. I'm like, I want to show you as much of the area as I can, so you understand what, you know, these men and women died for. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those and I think the ugly side of patriotism has come to the forefront in recent years, you know, and that is unfortunate. And, you know, now everyone, you know, who's, I am for public protest. I'm for it. It's in our Constitution. You know, I'm for it. Now, rioting, different. There's a difference, right? Not for rioting. However, not to be a hypocrite, I have destroyed public property in my day. So not to be a hypocrite, but, you know, there's, again, optics, right? You want change. Get it. You need change. You deserve change. Whatever the case may be, busting my fucking window is not the way to get it. Matter of fact, you're going to get the opposite effect, because now you're going to make an ally into a enemy quicker by busting my fucking window.
Yeah. So I guess really what that boils down to is the optics of being a patriot changes with the times.
But it goes both ways, right? The same people, I will argue with you, right? The same people who says that Colin Kaepernick should be hung for kneeling on the sideline is the same people who fly a fucking tattered American flag in the back of their fucking trucks.
Yep.
Same people. It's the same person. And let me tell you, I just sat here and called what Colin Kaepernick did patriotic, right? On the face of it, right? Patriotic. If you have a fucking tattered flag on your pole, right? It was patriotic to put the flag up. Now that it's 10 years later, or it, some of these flags out there, holy shit. It's unpatriotic to leave that motherfucker up.
Yeah. There is a U.S. flag code.
There is. And so there's more patriots, right? And I'm using air quotes. There's more patriots disrespecting the flag than people who burn the motherfucker. And I'm okay with, maybe not okay, right? I accept. There, thank you. I accept people burning the flag, right? Accept it, right? Freedom of expression, First Amendment right, burn the flag, right? Until there's a law that says you can't burn the flag, burn the fucking flag.
I'm not going to stand there and be part of your demonstration.
No. Yes, but if you bought the fucking, like, If you bought the flag, you brought the flag here, I'm going to burn the flag. Burn it. Cool. Yes. Do I like it? No. Right? Is that one my flag? Nope. I have flags. Now, you come burn my flag,
it's different.
You got to deal with me. Yeah. Like you said, there's consequences.
Yeah.
Right? You have to deal with me. However, the amount of people out there that think they are patriots riding around in their shitbox Chevys with fucking the American flag, three shades of black, tattered, has like 11 stripes on it. No, you are doing more harm to the word patriotic than Colin Kaepernick can ever do.
Yeah.
Around in your houses, you know, my brother-in-law, I'm like, bro, you need me to go buy you a new flag? He's like, no, why? I'm like, cause that fucking flag, the color ran out of that flag like 2 years ago. And to his credit, he ran out and got a new flag, but like, man, I'll go buy you one. But yeah, I mean,
and for like some people like that, they just don't think about it. But your brother-in-law is also not running around beating his chest. I'm an American patriot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, but I'm like, hey, it's time, you know, it's time. But yeah, there's ways to discard the flag. You know, you can roll it up in a ball, take it down to the VFW. They'll handle it for you. And you know how they handle it? They burn it. They burn the flag. Right? So, you know, they cut the stars away from the stripes and then they burn the thing. So, you know, which is in our flag code. So, you know,
as an appropriate way to dispose of the flag.
Yes. So, yeah. So, I mean, now granted, I'm the first one. People would say how I show my patriotism is offensive, right? Because I have stars and stripes, booty shorts. You know, they're like, you're putting the flag on your ass, right? First of all, you can't make garments out of the flag. So you're wrong. That's in the flag code. First of all, motherfucker, read the fine print. You can't make garments out of the flag.
You can make garments that are colored like the flag.
That are representations of the flag. You cannot cut a hole in the top of the fucking flag like John Rambo, throw that shit over your neck like a fucking poncho and wrap it, you know, wrap a fucking piece of twine around you to keep you warm. You can't do it. Can't do that. Fuck. Those people too. Oh, you're fucking whatever. Shut up. You're stupid. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to come at me with your fucking facts, be right.
So you're really animated about that one. How many times has someone come up and said that to you,
bro?
Because you got a little too like there's some trauma there.
No, ain't no trauma. Because I'm armed with facts, right? I'm armed with fucking facts, right? Because you know when you're 6'4" and you're bearded and you're Caucasian.
Oh, you pasty.
Yes. I'm pasty. People automatically assume, right? Right, wrong, or indifferent, they automatically assume I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Right? And oh, by the way, Saturday, I had, Star and Stripes bibs on, just rocking them shits. So.
With the socks.
With the fucking Star and Stripes socks.
And then I got a text from my son. What the fuck is Steve wearing?
Yeah. And then, which is funny because your dad chuckles like, what are you wearing? Right. But then Link puts a post of a dude during a dance with a Speedo on that Stars and Stripes. And I'm like, I'd rock that motherfucker, which I would. And your dad's like, so would I. I'm like,
but would you?
But you're laughing at my fucking bib overalls.
But this is the same man though that traumatizes my neighbors because he walks in my house from his tiny home out back in a pair of shorts, no shirt on, his black socks pulled up to his knees, and his fucking Jesus sandals.
Yeah.
You've seen it out in Colorado, oh, so yeah, you know.
Most certainly. Most certainly.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think I carried a small flag handkerchief in my helmet. In OIF-1, then we went to the Mitch helmets and you couldn't put nothing under there. So it went in and went into my IBA. But I carried it with me for 4 deployments, this small handkerchief. We had the honor to fold a flag for a gentleman, over in Studentville. You know, when a brother in the CVMA reaches out from Texas and says, "Hey, here's the deal. We can only get the cemetery for this time. The VFW said they can only send guys after the closing of the cemetery. And if we have them keep the cemetery open, it'll be another, you know, $1,000 or whatever thing it was." So he reached out to me. He's like, "Hey, you know, I don't know how far you guys are from Studentville," and we were 2 hours. We're 2 hours from Studentville. "Would you guys, you know, go over there and do it?" "Most certainly." And we did. And, you know, now, you know, me and Sean were standing in a parking lot over in Studentville, you know, rehearsing.
It's been a long time since I did color guard.
It's one of those things where, you know, he called me on a Wednesday or something for the funeral on Saturday, you know? And I was like, and me and Sean, we live 45 minutes away. So I'm like, "Hey, let's just show up early and let's do it. And it'll be fresh, you know, it'll be fresh in our minds." And so, you know, we did a 2-man fold and we knocked it out. And that, you know, that's what the flag means to me. That's, you know, I don't hide my patriotism, but I don't shove it in anybody's faces. I don't expect anyone to be as patriotic as I am. And if you're not, I don't look down on you. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to buy patriotic socks, let alone wear patriotic socks. You know what I mean? And I wear them all the fucking time. Yeah. So, you know, I have a flag rag I hang out of my back pocket, all the time when I'm on my bike, you know, and I use it. I wipe my brow. You know what I mean? Like, it's all these, you know, I treat patriotic symbols as that. It's a patriotic symbol. I don't wipe my brow on the flag, or whatever. I have a flag that flies at my house, with a POW MIA flag. That's what I'm talking about. Every Friday, if you go to 12-6 Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association 12-6 public page on Facebook, every Friday you'll see an American flag. A lot of those are pictures that we take throughout our travels. You know, that's just, you know, and let me tell you, the amount of patriotism, the amount of American flags, not just, you know, It was July 4th recently, right? The amount of patriotism of on holidays like this, holidays like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and things of that nature, you know, that's when, you know, it's easy to be a patriot for a day. It's easy. Being patriotic should be a, you know, 24/7, 365 task. And I think if, you know, somehow we need to bring meaning back to the word, because, you know, the word hero, that shit's washed out.
Yeah.
The word racist, that shit is washed out. If everybody's a fucking hero and everybody's a fucking racist and everybody, if everybody's a patriot, well, then you're also a racist and you're also, you know.
Yeah, we've gotten to a point in society where words are too many people treat words as an actual weapon, and too many people have watered words down to where they don't mean anything anymore. So if a word doesn't mean anything anymore, how can it be weaponized?
Right.
So I don't know. That's a conversation for another time.
Right.
Yeah. But I honestly agree with you that being positive qualities of patriotism should be something that every citizen, even if you don't outwardly display it, it should be part of your I don't know, like who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well,
and you'll have those out there, you know, cause we're a, you know, double-sided axe type show, right? We get both sides. I mean, there's people out there who are like, this country ain't done shit for me. Why should I do shit for it? And which I go back to my unconditional love, right?
And in that aspect, because I've had people say that to me before, I'm like, this country's actually done a lot for you. The government hasn't done shit.
Yeah. And right.
Because you being born into this country enables you to stand up and say, fuck this country, because they ain't done shit for me.
Right.
Because you say that shit in China and you no longer exist.
Right. And yeah. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where people think the worst because they're told they're getting the worst, you know? And it's like mental health, man. You gotta make your own way.
Yep.
You gotta make, you know, I broke my fucking neck for this country, right? In a war that no one fucking likes, and now that most of the truth is out, we probably shouldn't have been there anyways. So, was it worth it? I don't know. However, I did what I thought was right at the time. I was doing it. I got injured doing it. I have no regrets, and I don't blame my country. Again, the country is great. It's the people who fucked that shit up.
Yeah.
And you can say that about your job. You can say that about whatever. Anything, just look at it for face value, right? It's pretty good, right? People's like, the army fucking sucks. No, it don't. Army's a great institution.
The people in the army suck.
Which brings us with segues
us into today's episode. Yes. Of
fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Yeah.
So this individual you're about to be introduced to is the whole reason that the fuck that guy segment came about. So now we have, we are going to introduce the listening populace to one of the biggest pieces of shit command sergeant majors that you will ever have the pleasure of hearing about.
Let me find this cat. Because he just.
Did you lose him?
I did. It's Sergeant Major Compton.
Yes, Command right? Sergeant Major Jeremy Compton, Fort Polk.
Fort Polk, 45 years old.
He was a Command Sergeant Major of, was it the 46th Engineer Battalion?
Yeah, fucking engineers. God damn it. Let me find this cat.
It came to light that Command Sergeant Major Compton, I'm sorry. Private Compton. While he was in the position of Command Sergeant Major, was found to be in the possession of kiddie porn. Distributing lewd photos of himself in uniform, committing adultery by having sex with an individual that was not his spouse. I think that was all of them, right?
Yeah.
Pled guilty, was part of the plea agreement, was he only served 20 months confinement, but was busted down to the rank of E1 and dishonorably discharged. Which, well deserved. I probably would have given him more time, but that motherfucker definitely needed to be busted down to E1 and booted dishonorably. You're a Command Sergeant Major. Like, if this would have been one of your fucking staff sergeants or one of your specialists, you would have fucking hammered him. You would have thrown the book at him. You're a fucking Command Sergeant Major. Like, you're supposed to be the creme de la creme. Like, you are supposed to be the epitome of what every enlisted man and woman should strive to be. And you're out there with fucking underage porn, showing nude photos of yourself in uniform, and banging somebody that wasn't your spouse. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, It's the, to me, it's the kiddie porn. Like, you know, I get the cheating shit. At a certain point, you know, you have to keep your business out the street.
Right.
Right. And you have to,
There is a large majority of us that have stepped out of our marriages. Yeah. Unfortunately for that cat, it got tacked into all the other charges because that is against the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Yes.
And it's just not good order and discipline to be doing nude photos of yourself in your uniform. On top of, if that would have been a litany of other individuals, the hammer would have been dropped on them. But like you said, the anchor that brings him down to the lowest of the low is the kiddie porn. Like,
I mean, yeah, because fuck that guy.
Yeah. And the nutsack on this motherfucker to think he could do it. Like, and then secondary to that, the commander of said engineer battalion, I think he was a Lieutenant Colonel DePreo, and the Stars and Stripes article clearly points that these incidents were unrelated. He's facing a court-martial for, was it?
Inappropriate relations?
Sexual contact, something with a subordinate, like not menacing, but like, and then 2 counts of conduct unbecoming.
Yeah.
Like, I get that the two incidences are unrelated, but guess what it's showing? It's showing a pattern of Command Sergeant Majors and commanders, individuals in power, thinking they can do whatever the fuck they want because nothing's going to happen to him. Like, I can't remember the cat's name. Angry Cops YouTube channel got great stuff. He really brings out a lot of these military stories and the backgrounds on them. did one on a captain who motorboated an NCO when he pinned her stripes on. Motorboated a fucking NCO during a promotion ceremony and was able to leave with his rank and his retirement. Like, excuse me?
Yeah, I mean,
these are the people that make the Army suck.
Yeah. And which, you know, in I mean,
if you're a command sergeant major or a commander or a fucking platoon sergeant, a squad leader, whatever you are, if you are in a position of responsibility and leadership, fucking lead by example. Like, it's that simple.
Yeah. So, do right or we'll find you.
Yep.
And you'll be on the next installment of
Fuck That Guy. Fuck That Guy.
Until next time. We encourage your feedback and want to hear your stories. Hit us up, whiskeywillswounds.com. You'll find links to our social media and email. Remember, everyone deployed around the world, those still missing in action and prisoners of war, the homeless veterans in this country, and those veterans lost to suicide each year. Find a reason, not an excuse.
Thank you for listening. See you next time.